The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. When they continued asking him, he straightened up, and he said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin throw the first stone." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, the L.A. Marathon is done, and the traffic was big, and lots of crowds in L.A. today. I was probably would have run the marathon this year if I hadn't been scheduled for the 9:30 Mass. And that was a little Blarney for St. Patrick's Day. This isn't Blarney, though. We had there were so many, and I admire some people so much who do that. And we had a group from our Africa ministry who were involved in running the marathon and using it as a fundraiser. And because of the work of our Africa ministry, many of them are here today, the patients at the AIDS hospice connected with Holy Cross Parish in Dandora, Kenya, will be able to be fed for a year. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. And that came about because some 10 years ago, some parishioners went with Monsignor Torgerson, and they went, and they got in planes, and they flew to Kenya, and they got in buses, and they went to one of the poorest areas of the world, and they saw face-to-face. They saw people face-to-face. Something happens when you go out. Something happens when you go out and see and put a face on things that you kind of know exist. It struck me again this week because, of course, this week on Wednesday we got the church changed in some amazing ways. I was in my office in my part of the building. All of a sudden, was very quiet, and I wondered what was going on. And then I got a tweet that said, you know, there was white smoke coming. And so I went into the lobby where the rest of the staff had already gathered, and they were watching smoke, and we were all speculating who it would be, and we all had our favorites, and you know, we all kind of were going back and forth. And then the name was announced, and we all kind of looked at each other and had a resounding, "Who?" Now, thank God Father Willie was there, because Father Willie follows the curia like some boys follow baseball. I think he's got a Cardinal Bergoglio rookie card from when he was first made a bishop. So Willie knew something about him right away and kind of filled us in. But then, you know, you start looking at the things that come up, the little snippets that people have, the things we can pull off Google, and it's pretty amazing. Even just the idea that as a bishop, he rode the bus. That as a bishop, he did every day what we do sometimes often in our parish when we ride up to the detention camps or take a group to Africa. He took a bus with people. And that concern for people and that willingness to see people face to face and live among them and live in their reality, it changes everything. And it seems to have affected this man who now is our Pope. And it seems to be affecting the things he says and that he does. When you see people face to face, it changes a lot of things. The people in need aren't just a demographic, and their concerns aren't just social issues or social problems. They become brothers and sisters, and their concerns become the concerns of brothers and sisters. Jesus was in the temple area, and he was teaching. He'd already prayed at the Mount of Olives that morning, and he had people gathered around him teaching in the temple area. And they must have heard a crowd coming, coming in through the gates, and a ruckus crowd, and they kind of interrupted the teaching session, and they brought this woman who they were holding on either side, and they put her right in the front of everybody, and they said to Jesus, "This woman has been caught in the very act of committing adultery." They weren't all that. Their indignation was false. They were just trying to find a way to trick Jesus, and he knew it. And by the way, where was the man caught in the act of committing adultery? That's always one of the great mysteries of the church. So this woman caught in the act of adultery is standing there, and the crowd is baited. The crowd's picked up as they move through the city, and they're prepared to stone her right there. So that means that they had to pick up those stones on the way. They had to carry those through town, because once you got in the temple area, there wasn't anything good to throw there. They had to, as they were going through town, they were picking up stones and they were carrying them through, and they were ready. They were ready. They were poised and ready to do what crowds do when they don't think, when they're heated up. And what does Jesus do in the midst of this crowd, in the midst of this situation? He bends down and he starts writing in the dirt. A lot of people have tried to figure out what he was writing that day. Some scholars say that it goes with the tradition that a judge would write out a sentence before it's proclaimed. Other people speculate that what Jesus did is he wrote the sins of the Pharisees right there in the dirt so that they could read them. Whatever it was, whatever he wrote, what it did was it gave him time to collect his thoughts. It gave him time to respond out of the best of who he was, and it gave the crowd time to maybe lower the stone just a little bit as they waited. Jesus, when he was collected and when he was calm, stands and gives that great line, "Let the one among you who is without sin cast the first stone at her." And there must have been quite a noise of the thud as people dropped their rocks and turned around and went home. People that realized that the sins that make them most angry about this woman were nothing compared to the sins that they carried around in their own hearts. And so they went and they left. And in doing that, Jesus had not only saved the woman, Jesus had saved them. There were probably some of them, as they dropped the rock and left it on the way, who thought, "Thank God I didn't throw that stone. Thank God, because how would I have felt in the morning if I would have been the one that had killed that woman or bruised that woman with the stone that had been in my hand?" They had been relieved of that burden. It is so easy sometimes to carry around stones. We can have a way of being so prepared to hurl condemnation and insults at people. There are ways that we can be so prepared to call up righteous indignation at the world around us before we're willing to look honestly and humbly at the things that are going on in our own hearts and souls. There are ways that we can be so quick to judge the person who doesn't put on their turn signal, or the person that cuts in line in traffic, or the person who does this or does that, so quick to have the metaphorical stone in our hand. And you know what? Carrying that stone, that bag of stones, is a burden. And Jesus bids us put those stones down. Put those stones down and look at your own sin, and lets us walk away. And lets us walk away. And the woman stood there, and it was just she and him, face to face, Jesus looking at a woman who had become his sister in this moment of tension and in this great moment there in the courtyard outside the temple. Has no one condemned you? Then neither do I condemn you. Go, and the only bit of counsel he gives is sin no more. And she left, and can only imagine what a relief and how much love she must have felt. The kind of love you feel when you know you're forgiven. When you know that God has forgiven you even when you don't deserve it. When you know that God has forgiven us even when we can't make up for it. And she walked away with that kind of freedom that comes, the kind of love that comes, the kind of intensity that comes from having discovered that. Three things I want to offer to us that maybe the gospel has, and for whatever they're worth, I propose them to you. The first thing is, let's get on the bus more. Let's go out and try to see and understand people, especially people with whom we have differences or with people with whom we have concerns. Like our Holy Father has done and done in little ways, let us do in our little ways too. Because great things happen, people are fed, and people become brothers and sisters who once were strangers and perhaps even enemies. Let us see. Secondly, when we're in those situations where there's tension and there's heat and there's big things at stake and words could do a lot of damage and tempers flare, bend down. Stand down. Write a little something. Take some time so that we can cool off and act from the best of who we are rather than responding in the heat of the moment, so that we can respond as Jesus would and not respond out of the heat of the moment and the pressures of the crowd and the pressures of the moment, so that we have time to lower the stone and put it down, to drop that bag of stones so that we don't harm someone else and so that we don't live with a greater pain of having inflicted something that is truly not coming from the best of who we are. And thirdly, for the times when we do sin, let us seek God's mercy and know that God loves us and that God always is ready to forgive and understand and has so little intention or so little desire to condemn. This is what Pope Francis said this morning at the Angelus. Quoting Francis, "This is Jesus' message, mercy. On my part, I say it with humility. This is the Lord's strongest message, mercy. He said, I did not come for the righteous. The righteous can justify themselves. Jesus came for sinners." "Oh, Father," Pope Francis continued, relating what people often say to priests, "Oh, Father, if you knew what my life was, you wouldn't say that. Why? What have you done? Oh, I have done bad things. Good. Go to Jesus." Francis said, "He likes you to tell him these things. He forgets. He has the special ability to forget. He forgets them, kisses you, embraces you, and tells you only, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' He only gives you this counsel, 'Go and sin no more.' A month later, we are the same. We return to the Lord. The Lord never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who get tired of asking forgiveness. Let us ask for the grace to never tire of asking forgiveness, because he never tires of forgiving us." Amen.